All right, brethren, let's go to John chapter 3. I'll go ahead and apologize to you up front. I may cough a lot, and I've been down for the count since I got back from Danville, so we'll see where this goes, and we'll see how it goes. John 13. Is that what I said? John 13. Let's go to the Lord before we begin. Our great God and our Father, we do thank you for your sovereign power, your holy reign. Thankful, Lord, that everything you do is right. How we do thank you for your saving grace. Lord, help us to see now. Give us your spirit and a double portion. Help us to enter into the word spoken. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, verse 13. Now, I want you to just imagine. This is at the house of Simon the leper, 2 days before the Passover. He came to Bethany 6 days before the Passover, 2 days before he went to the house where they made him a supper. This is the house where Mary poured out the ointment on him, where he commended her, and Judas got upset. And he said, same place. Now imagine you're sitting there, you're having supper with the Lord Jesus. And then you hear him make this statement. Verse 18. He said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Look at verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now you just imagine if you were sitting there and you heard him say that. Verse 22, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And he then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought that because Judas had the bag, he was the treasurer, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should go and give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. It was night. Now, 2 days later, when our Lord was at the Passover, they had 2 days to think about this. And 2 days later, when he was at having the Passover with them, he made this statement again. In Matthew 26:22, he said to them, One of you shall betray me. And in verse 22, they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And they all went around saying this. And then verse 25 says, Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, that is teacher, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Now you just try to imagine you're there eating with the Lord, and you hear him say, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. He didn't say, somebody shall betray me. That could have meant it was somebody out there. It could have been one of the Pharisees or somebody. He said, one of you shall betray me. And each of them looked at each other, doubting. It says, they each looked at each other, doubting of whom he spake. That is, one by one. You take Peter, for example. They're all sitting at the table. Peter looked at James, and he thought within himself, it can't be James. Peter looked at John, and he thought, it can't be John. And he looked at Andrew, and thought within himself, it can't be Andrew. And on down the line, even to Judas Iscariot, Peter said, it can't be Judas. And they each did this. They each were looking on one another and doubted it could be the other. And then as it set in on them, that they had 2 days to think about this, and that night of the Passover, he said it again. And they've been thinking about this. And he said one of them would betray the Lord, and it made them exceeding sorrowful. To think their Lord would be betrayed, first of all. And then secondly, to think one of them would be the betrayer. It made them exceeding sorrowful. Now there's three questions that were asked. And I want to use these as our divisions. We'll see, first of all, each asked a question. Each asked a question. And then secondly, we'll see Judas Iscariot's question. And then thirdly, we'll hear John's question. Now, this is not the order these took place, but this is going to be the order we're going to look at them. The first, the question each asked of the Lord. In Matthew 26:22, they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? They had looked at one another. And each thought within themselves and doubted, it can't be him. And they became exceedingly sorrowful, and each one of them, one by one, went around the table saying, Lord, is it I? Not one of them said, Lord, is it Judas? And not one of them said, Lord, is it one of these others? They all said, Lord, is it I? This is a good thing. The Spirit of the Lord works in His people. And only the Spirit of the Lord can work this in us. This is what Paul was talking about in Philippians 3:3 when he said, we're the circumcision. This is a mark of the truly circumcised child, circumcised in the heart by the Spirit of God, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That's why they asked this question. They had no confidence in their flesh. When something's wrong, the Spirit of God makes us question self first. And you know why this is a good suspicion? You know why? It's because those that are born of the Spirit of God, and this is why we suspect ourselves, those born of the Spirit of God are taught of God, we have two natures in us. There's two nations in us, two natures, like two nations warring, two men. We have a holy nature born of the Spirit of God called the new man. And we have a sin nature born of Adam called the old man. And they're diametrically opposed. And knowing we have a sin nature, God teaches us that we ought to never have confidence in ourselves so as to say, the sin my brother commits, I'll never commit. Or to hear something like what our Lord said and say, I'll never do that. Each of us have different temperaments. Just children of Adam, we all have different temperaments. There's sins we're each more inclined to, and there's sins we're less inclined to. But that ought to never give us confidence in ourselves. Not at all. We each have a sin nature, and it's the fountain of all our sin. Our Lord said, out of the heart, he's talking about the sin nature, proceed evil thoughts. And they're sins, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And besides this, to break God's law in one sin in thought is to be guilty of the whole law. James said, whosoever should keep the whole law yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Every sin is in one sin, even in one sinful thought. That's so. Every sin is in one sin, even one sinful thought. The law was given at Sinai that the offense might abound. And that law given at Sinai by God shows us that when Adam broke one transgression, he broke every one of those laws and committed every sin that's a violation of every law by that one transgression. And so did we in him. And this is what the Lord teaches us when he teaches us the gospel. The same is true of the believer. Nobody commits only one kind of transgression. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The same sin is in the believer's sin nature as is in the reprobate. The same sin. It's what your nature is. It's what my nature is. It's all that comes from our sin nature. The exact same sin as is in the reprobate. The profligate sinner that is just base and never even would consider coming in this place. Same sin that's in his nature is in your nature sitting right there and mine standing right here. And it's the same sin that comes out of our nature that comes out of his. One reason that Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus is because he was covetous. He'd been stealing out of the bag the whole time. And he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. That really wasn't that much money. Cain killed his brother because his heart was full of jealousy. And David, the man after God's own heart, sinned because of pride and lust coming from his sin nature. That's not to excuse anybody for their sin. That's to make you understand you are a sinner that has to have God to save you and do all the saving. These sins, as well as every other, come from the sin nature in every believer. And this is the reason the Spirit of the Lord teaches us not to trust self. He said in Isaiah 2:22, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Where is he to be accounted of? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. A man who trusts his own heart and his own attainments and his own graces, he's a fool. Under the present circumstances, we may not be inclined to sin. But you let the circumstances change. You let the Lord take his hand off of you. And we'll find out we're capable of any sin. I mean any. There's one sin a child of God cannot commit, the unpardonable sin. God will not let you cease trusting Christ. You'll try. You're full of unbelief, and we'll see that, but God will keep faith in the heart of his child. So knowing this, we cry, Lord, is it I? And the Lord's teaching us by this that that's a better thing to ask than to speak of some sin and say, I'll never do that. The better thing is to say, Lord, is it I? Now, there's an amazing contrast here to see these apostles, each one questioning themselves before the Lord. And then just a little while later, the devil can't do anything but what the Lord permits him to do. God's not in competition with the devil. And the Lord was in control of everything taking place here. The devil didn't enter Judas till the time appointed. But not long after this took place, our Lord permitted the devil to start sifting his apostles. He said that to Peter. But it wasn't just Peter, it was all of them. And a little while later, they all made this same mistake, saying they'd never be offended and they'd never deny the Lord. They all said it. Peter led them, but they all said it. The devil appeals to the pride of our sin nature. And we start thinking, I won't do that. I won't do that. He put the betrayal in Judas's heart. But Judas did willingly what he wanted to do. And you and I have a sin nature, and we're willing to sin. And he sifted Peter and these other apostles, and it would already begun when they started saying, Lord, we will never deny you. It's here at the end of John 13, but I want to read it to you out of Matthew 26:31, because I want you to hear what the Lord said. Matthew 26:31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it's written, this is a scripture, it's going to come to pass. I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. That's the scripture. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. The Lord says the same thing. I'm not going to preach this right now, but I do want to point it out. He tells Peter at the end of John chapter 13, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And don't stop reading there. Because the Lord says in verse 1 of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I'm going to this cross to prepare a place for you. And when I'm done, I'm coming again to you. And I'll restore you. And that's what he's saying to them here in Matthew. After I'm risen again, I'll go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. That's a whole different spirit than saying, Lord, is it I? That's a whole different spirit than saying, could it be John? It can't be John. Could it be James? It can't be James. Now he's saying, yeah, they all might do it, but I won't do it. You see the different spirit here? Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Judas went out and betrayed the Lord. Peter denied the Lord and he went out. So did all the other apostles. Peter said, I'm going fishing. He said, I'm done with this preaching. I'm done with this ministry. I'm going back to my occupation. It was easier. Wasn't any pressure. Wasn't any rejection. Men like to see me coming in the shore with a boat full of fish. I'm going back to my fishing. And other disciples followed him. They followed him. He led them through to that. Who made the difference between Peter and Judas Iscariot? Who made the difference between them? Who made the difference between Job and Judas Iscariot? The Lord permitted the devil to sift Job. Who made the difference? God permitted the same devil to be at work in each one, and the same sinful lusts of the flesh were in each one, and each one sinned. Who made the difference? The Lord graciously came to Peter, and he came to Job, and he recovered them. God's grace made the difference. That's who made the difference. The Lord taught Peter, and he taught his apostles, that in our flesh dwells nothing good. Nothing good. You know what they learned by that? What they learned by 1 minute saying, it can't be them. Lord, is it I? And then the next minute saying, it's them, it can't be me. You know what they learned by that? That when they said in the first time, when they said, it can't be them, Lord, is it me? They only said that by the Spirit of God. And what they did when they said, it's going to be them, it won't be me, they said that in their flesh. And they learned, in our flesh dwells no good thing. We're saved by God's grace. We're saved by the righteous obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He went to the cross and bore all this sin we're seeing. He bore it for his people, with the exception of Judas. He bore this for every elect child of God and for all the apostles here that had sinned. He bore it. He bore the curse deserving of it and put it away so that they died that day on the cross, and so did all his people. And the law says, I have nothing else to say to them. God says they're holy. The law says they're holy. And our Lord Jesus comes in the Spirit, and he regenerates us and brings us to cast all our care on Christ, cleansing our conscience by the blood of Christ. And he says to us what he said to these apostles right here. You're clean every whit. Justified, righteous, holy in him. But now your feet's going to get defiled, and I'm going to have to wash you, and you're going to have to wash one another. And it wasn't long after he showed them that. He said, you don't understand it now, but you're going to. It wasn't very long. They're going to start entering into what he meant by, we're going to have to forgive one another and wash one another's feet. They soon entered in to find out what it meant. And this is why they each addressed Christ as Lord. They said, Lord, is it I? Why do we call on him as Lord? Why do we call the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a confession in that. If it's really from the heart that we're confessing him to be our Lord, there's a confession in that, that we're utterly dependent on our sovereign Savior to do all the saving. That's what that means. If it's of the Lord, that's what we're saying. We're saying we need our sovereign, conquering, never-failing Savior to save us and keep us and preserve us, because this is what we'll do. To address him as Lord is to take our place at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, dependent upon the Lord to save. That's the spirit the Lord gave the psalmist when he said this, who can understand his errors? Can you? You can't. We know why? Because our sin nature is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. When you're going to see your sin, when you're going to know your sin, when you're going to fall down at the Lord's feet and say, Lord, is it I? When he cleanses you from secret faults. And that's what we pray. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Means they can doesn't let them. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. That's what they're saying. Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Why do you need the Lord to search your heart? Because he's the only one that can. But consider how Judas Iscariot asked his question. Now let's look at him for a minute. This is in Matthew 26:25. It says, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, teacher, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. Then, Judas only asked this after the other disciples asked it. They all, in verse before, the verse 22, they all asked. Then Judas asked. Spurgeon said, He who shall last ask the question is just the man who ought to have asked it first. And notice how he addressed the Lord. He said, Master, is it I? There's two things in this. One, this was a title that showed familiarity. If this would have been genuine, it would have shown a closeness with the Lord, is what it would have shown, and a familiarity with the Lord. But by using this, Judas is showing how he's crafty. He betrayed the Lord with a kiss. And two, it was not that reverential, dependent spirit that was in the others. By the title Lord, these other apostles took their place at his feet as sinners in need of Christ to save them by his mercy and grace. Is there really that big a difference in a title? 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, I give you to understand, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. No man can confess he's totally, I'm just trying to think of something Scripture uses to describe us. Some of these vile things the Scripture uses to describe us. No man can confess that unless the Spirit of God working in his heart. And that's what it is to call him Lord. It's to say we need him to save us. We're the accursed. We need him to save us. Now this supper was in Simon's house and 2 days before the Passover, and our Lord gave them a sop while they were in this house. That was a gesture of friendliness. And then he had 2 days. He went out that night and he went straight in the dark all the way to Jerusalem and entered into an agreement with the Pharisees. And he had 2 days to think about this, and then at the Passover, he heard the Lord describe his sin in the plainest terms. I mean, he described he was going to betray him. Woe to that man by whom that does this thing. He heard it plainly, and then the Lord gave him ample time through all of this to repent, to come down off his lofty high place to Christ's feet. And he was unmoved. He set his heart to betray the Lord Jesus. Brethren, thank God for his grace in revealing our sin to us and continuing to reveal our sin to us and continuing to break your heart and bring you to hate yourself and not trust your own self and see yourself as the sinner. Thank God for that. Because we can't do it without him doing it. You can't break one power of sin in you. When Paul spoke about keeping his body under subjection, he quickly said, by the grace of God. If that wasn't so, then why come all these apostles didn't deny their flesh and tuck tail and run? Let's learn something from John's question now. John 14:23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And he then lying on Jesus' breast said to him, Lord, who is it? Now, John here, he's closer to the Lord Jesus than Peter was. And so Peter, he beckons to him and he says, ask him who this is. And the Lord's laying there, and John's laying in such a place,
And all he had to do was just lean his head back on his breast and ask him, Lord, who is it? Privately, just between him and John. And the Lord answered him. And this is so important that later, you remember when the Lord came back and he restored Peter. As they walked off from the crowd and the Lord was talking to Peter, John was walking along behind them. And this is how John wrote it in John 21:20. He said, then Peter turned about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? That shows you something about the importance of this right here, what took place right here. That John repeats it. The Spirit of God moved him to repeat it twice. What it's showing us is John's confidence was in Christ's love for him. That was his confidence. When he was writing this gospel, he never refers to himself as the one who loved Jesus. He don't even use his name. He referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. It's not that God loves some of his elect more than others. God loves all his elect perfectly in Christ. But our confidence is not our love to the Lord, it's his love to us. This was John's confidence. This is what it is to worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in our flesh. His confidence was in the Lord's love to him. The Lord set his love on his people just because he would, and his love was manifest in that he entrusted all his elect to Christ to do the saving and didn't leave it in our hands. His love's manifest in that he sent his only begotten Son. We didn't love him, and yet he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Christ said in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That preeminent man, that preeminent friend is our Lord Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for his people, his friends. You won't find greater love than his. And it was God's love that sent the Spirit to us, sent the gospel to us, crossed our path with the gospel, regenerated us, gave us faith in every blessing we have to believe on Christ and trust him and have no confidence in ourselves. And it's the same love of Christ that constrains us inwardly to trust him and to lay upon his breast and to put it all in his hand and to have no confidence in ourselves. It's the love of Christ for John that made John know he could draw close to the Lord, to the Savior, in communion with the Lord Jesus, just between him and the Lord, and he could ask him privately, Lord, who is it? He was comfortable doing that. And you know what? The Lord answered him, and him only. You ever ask the question, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If you're his, you do. If you're his, you ask that. How are you going to find the answer to that? Don't go to a man. Any man that tries to convince you of that ain't worth listening to. You go to Christ. You go to the Lord Jesus Christ, just like John did, and say, Lord, is it I? Christ will never, he'll never reject anybody who comes to him brokenhearted, desiring to know him and to know they are his. He won't reject you. It's called having mercy. Abraham was continually drawing near to the Lord, and the Lord said in Genesis 18:17, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? When the Lord revealed it to John, here's something else you see. John trusted the Lord to deal with it. Now you imagine, you're sitting there and the Lord tells you somebody in the group is about to betray your Lord, your Savior. And they all thought he was about to establish an earthly kingdom. They thought he was about to do that and they was going to all have a position in that kingdom. And the Lord tells John, it's the one to whom I give a sop. And he reached out and he dipped the bread in the in the broth and he handed it over to Judas. Judas didn't even know what he was doing. Judas probably thought, he's favoring me. Judas didn't know what he was doing, but John did. And John didn't say a word. I think that's why when the Lord came to recover Peter and him and Peter walked off, I think that's why John was walking in the back, and I think that's why John mentioned this again. Because he's trusting the Lord to deal with Peter. That's what you'll learn to do if you draw near to Christ and he is in communion with you and making you know he's got it. He's ruling. He's got it. He's your righteousness, and he's the master of your brethren, and he will make them stand. You don't have to worry about it. And that's peace, to know he's got it. Christ and his love for us and the revelation of himself to us is our strength. To trust him, to believe him, to rest in him, to cast it all into his hand. That's how our flesh is subdued. We think of our flesh as some sin. God has put us together with sinners so that when your brother sins something that you consider sin and you get offended by it, God can show you, that's the sin I'm going to have to save you from. I'm going to deal with my brother, but you're going to have to be saved from that sin. Of not saying, Lord, is it I? There can't be but one righteousness. There can't be but one holiness. There can't be but one wisdom. And there can't be but one redemption and one redeemer. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't have a part in it. And we're going to have to be taught that. And when you got a fist full of diamonds, you ain't worried about 30 pieces of silver. And that's what John had, because he's in communion with the Lord. It's nothing in ourselves. It's not our religious experience. It's not our attainments. It's not how we've been used in any regard whatsoever. God could use us, and he don't need to use us. God could use us today and not use us tomorrow. It's not about us. It's not about anything we've done or will do or can do. This thing is about the Lord Jesus Christ getting all the glory, and he's going to get it. Stay near to Christ. Lay upon his breast. Read his gospel. Go to him. The moment you start thinking, well, it's them, it'll never be me. The moment that thought comes into your head, get to Christ. Turn on a sermon. Turn on read an article. Get to his word. Do something and get to Christ and get near. Get on his breast right away and ask him, Lord, is it I? Save me from me. And the Lord will. And he'll get the glory. Our confidence and our security is to be held by incarnate love himself. And we need his grace to lie upon his breast continually. Peter learned this. We're no match for the devil either. And that's all it is when we start leaning to our own understanding and trying to trust ourselves, is the devil having his way with us by God's permission. Peter said, we got to resist him steadfast in the faith. That means get to the refuge, get to Christ. Humble yourselves under his mighty hand, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. And if we suffer, now listen, Peter denied, he knew the Lord, and he went out and he left. How are we going to treat a brother if they do that? Well, John said if they went out from us, they were not of us. That's if they go out and stay out. If you'd said that about Peter, you'd have been wrong. See, you've got to use some spiritual discernment to understand these scriptures. The Lord is who we're going to trust. And we ask him, Lord, please save my brother. And if he makes you watch for every opportunity. Watch for him to open the door. And if he opens the door just a little bit, speak a word in season, whatever he gives you to speak. Until he does that, you can't do it. But you can pray for him. And you can trust the Lord to bring him back. And if there he is, that's exactly what he'll do. As so of me, you, all of us. As so of every our sin every day. We ought to know this. We see it every day. We try to leave 100 times a day. And he keeps renewing us and bringing us back. Don't go out. Don't sin. Don't take anything I'm saying and think that I'm saying, well, if God's going to save me, then I'm going to be saved so I can just live like hell. You'll go to hell. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, and you won't hear it that way if the Lord's teaching you. You see these things and it makes you just draw nearer to Christ because you see, I can't trust me. I need him. Stay on him. Stay on his breast. But I know this, if you do go out, if you do fall, if you do suffer in any way, and here's your confidence, if you're not the one falling today and your brother's falling, here's your confidence right here to make you not be wildly alarmed. Peter learned this. Peter went through this. He denied the Lord. He left. He went back. He was leaving. And the Lord, and he was weeping bitterly the whole time, and the Lord brought him back. And you know what Peter wrote? By the Spirit of God, God said, now Peter, write down, after you've been converted, strengthen your brethren, feed my sheep. Now write down in your epistle what you learned from me. And he wrote down, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, will make you perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you. Just mark it down. That's what he's going to do. And so when you have all confidence in Christ and none in our flesh, this is where we are. We're laying upon his breast. And Jude was in there. He saw all this. You know what he wrote? This is the other Judas. You know what he wrote? One of the other Judases. You know what he wrote? Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Well, but the scripture says believers going to fall 100 times a day or something to that effect. He's able to keep you from falling away. You're going to fall. But he's able to keep you from falling away. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Father, we ask you to bless this word to our hearts and draw us near to your breast and cause us to have this communion with Christ. Keep us ever questioning ourselves and ever trusting you. Lord, we thank you. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.